It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
On April 29, 2022, Vicky White threw away her 16-year career as a corrections officer and her life by helping Casey White, a violent and dangerous inmate, escape. So many questions left unanswered. Today, her friends and co-workers shed some light on this baffling and tragic case. Join us. So this is the fifth and final episode on the Vicky and Casey White case. We started with the manhunt from the perspective of the U.S. Marshals. Then we did two episodes with those who knew Vicky and were working to bring her to justice. We did that with the Lauderdale County District Attorney and the lead investigator from the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Office. And our final episode is with the people who knew Vicky White the best, her coworkers. I'm Chris Gotsick. This is Chasing Evil. Welcome, everyone, to Lauderdale County, Alabama. And if you hear some odd noises that you probably wouldn't get in most recording studios, it's because we're recording inside the Lauderdale County Detention Center. So I just wanted to prepare you. Since I've been here, I've heard a couple of interesting sounds and statements. We're going to do a little recap on Casey and Vicky White. And if you listen to the other episodes, you'll know that Vicky White was a 16-year veteran of the Lauderdale County Detention Center. And she fell in love with an inmate, Casey White, no relation. We have one grimace already. We'll discuss whether it was true love. But no. When you raise your eyebrows on an audio-only podcast, it doesn't really convey anything to the audience.
I wasn't sure I was supposed to be speaking.
I said you could speak anytime you want.
Thought you were still doing the intro.
I am still doing the intro, but that's okay. Because your face contorted when I said that they fell in love. Well, they must have done something because on April 29th, 2022, Vicky White broke Casey White out of the Lauderdale County Detention Center, and they went on the run for 11 days. And it ended tragically with Vicky White's death. And maybe an accidental gunshot. We just don't know. And that brings me to my guests today. I knew that I wanted to interview these women because when I first met them, when I came to the detention center, one of the other detectives said, someone in this room threw the adult sex toy party that Vicky White attended. And just like now, oh, you're just going to dime her out immediately.
That's what they do.
That didn't take any questioning at all. They just went right for you. But the thing was, when I looked around the room, I saw the guiltiest faces on the planet Earth. And I'm not an expert in reading body language or facial expressions, but I know guilt when I see it. And I said, these women have a story to tell. First, we have the boss, Missy Smith, who has been here for 24 years.
Yes.
We have Chantel Brown, mm-hmm. who has been here for 7 years. Welcome.
Yes.
How to describe Chantel? I've learned a lot about Chantel in a very short period of time.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Chantel is all about Brahmin and Michael Kors. And while they are not sponsors of this episode yet, Sherry Marks, also here for 7 years, an administrative assistant. Welcome.
Thank you.
And thrower of sex toy parties?
My one and only. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
First and last.
Maybe, you never know.
Now everybody's going to know.
Yep. Including the sheriff. Hi, sheriff. And we have Chelsea Caulfield.
Yes.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And you've been here for 2 years. let me explain their working area. The astronauts on Apollo 11 had more room in their space capsule than these ladies have. And when you see the cramped quarters and know that their desks are separated only by a matter of inches, you knew at one of those desks sat Vicky White. You knew there were no secrets. Right. Although you just found out that Chelsea's husband had a podcast and you didn't even know that.
It was a secret.
So, yeah. And he has over 200 episodes. So apparently you don't know everything about everybody.
No.
But I figured that literally there is nobody who could talk about Vicky and how this happened and really speculate more than anybody are the people who know her best. Would you agree with the statement that Vicky's life was her work? This was her environment that she worked in, but it was also her social center.
Yeah, yes. I would agree. Absolutely.
Let's give the listeners an idea of who she was on a day-to-day basis on the 24/7 that you guys spend with each other. How would you describe her normally?
She was here before any of us got here, and was always most of the time after us leaving.
Yeah, it was
until like close to the end.
Towards the end,
she was leaving earlier.
About four, but she was getting here at like 6 mm-hmm. in the morning.
Right. Before the Vicky and Casey White saga, how would you describe her personality? You've known her for years upon years.
Quiet.
She didn't really let people in.
She was very private.
Yeah, she's very private. And she was like that in school also. She was very quiet. She could be really fun, though.
She could be.
She was fun. I think she was. She knew how to play the part. Like, we would always joke that if, like, somebody was calling she didn't want to talk to, or somebody calls her name over the radio, you know, she's like, who is this, you know? And then when she pick up the phone, she'd say, hey, it's Vicky. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Yes, you know. And so she knew how to play along. She knew how to, we would hear all the her little gripes and, you know, but then she knew how to, like, put the smile on.
Completely different personality when she answers the phone.
Oh, we would joke. Sure. We would all joke about that with her, you know, while she was
right.
like, hello, it's Vicky. Who is that? Who is that Vicky?
That's not the same Vicky.
Yeah. In an earlier episode, we talked about her love life.
We know she was married. Don't know how many years she was married to the first husband. Tommy, was that his name? What was his name?
Yes.
Yeah, that's his name.
And her and Tommy divorced. I think he was several years older than her at the time. Her and Brian dated for about 10 years, didn't they?
Yeah, they built a house together.
Yeah. And he passed away in a car wreck, and that was about 10 years ago.
They built a house together.
Mm-hmm.
He had one child that I know of. That's what Vicky told me. And when he passed, Vicky literally gave the daughter the house that him and her built together.
Oh, wow.
And when I asked her, and I did ask her why, because, I mean, I would think I would need somewhere to live. She would, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So her answer to me was because that was his only child, and she wanted her to have the house.
Oh, wow.
So
that was nice. So for 10 years, she's been relatively single.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it to be single in Florence, Alabama?
It's dusty. It's real dry and dusty. I feel like with Vicky, it was the last, I'm gonna say like the last 3 years, it seemed like she would hint at being with someone or having someone. We are really close in the office. There aren't many conversations that we haven't had with each other as ladies in the office. So when we would have those type of conversations, Vicky wouldn't necessarily join in them, but you can tell by like her facial expressions, like, oh, Vicky, you know something. What you got going on, girl?
So she was not an oversharer.
No, we would absolutely bring it out. We could bring it out of her.
Right.
And yes. I mean, it may be like she may respond with like a facial expression or a girl or, you know, or something, but it wasn't like, okay, let me tell y'all what's going on.
Right.
You know, but just based on her cues, it was like, okay, Vicky has somebody. Somebody she got is She got a man. She's not telling us who it is.
And it wasn't until the sex toy party that they really found out.
And she really kind of got a little more bold that last year. You know, that's when she was talking about going to the beach or going out of town.
She did get the cards.
Yeah, she got the two cards.
What's the cards?
Was it Christmas?
I want to say it was Christmas. Yeah, because me and you commented about the money that was in it.
There was two $100 bills, and they were folded up, like, in a shape. And me and Sherry was like, now that we think back on it, that looks like something an inmate would do.
Mm. How it was folded.
Like origami kind of?
Huh?
It was like origami or something?
Mm-hmm.
See, I knew nothing about
this. Me neither. That's deep.
And, of course, I didn't look to see if there was a name on the card. I was just like.
I don't think there was.
I think I was just kind of shocked that Vicky actually showed us two cards, and then one of them had money, and I was like,
"That's
all."
She said this was from her man in Louisiana.
Yeah, and I was like, "That's all he gave you for Christmas was $200, really?"
Boy, we know you're high dollar. Wow. Okay.
Only two.
I thought Miss Brahma was high end, but clearly
only $200.
I'm just saying.
She was single until Casey came along. Did you notice a change over the past couple of years when the guys would, as close as you were in the office, she just didn't offer up that kind of information?
She was very private.
Extremely private. I do feel like it was just the last couple
of years. We didn't know about Casey until about 6 o'clock that evening.
Every year for her birthday, we try to get each other something, you know, everybody get together and pitch in a little bit for birthdays. We would have to look, like, we would ask Misa, like, can you check her file to see when her birthday is again? It's got to be coming up soon, you know? And, like, what are we going to get her? You know, I mean, every year, because she just, she wasn't big on celebrating the birthdays. She just really.
She worked and went home.
That was it.
And was, like, taking care of her mom and dad. Like, she would do stuff with her dad. Like, if her dad had things that had to be done, she would fuss sometimes and say, my brothers should be doing this, but I'm doing it. So,
Okay, talk about the environment here in the detention center. I know the inmates come in through booking, which is not through your area.
Right.
But when you come into contact with inmates, which you guys do on a regular basis, right? It is not uncommon to hear a comment or a solicitation or something.
Absolutely not.
it happens often.
Often.
Yeah, it's often.
And it's not something you would entertain.
Mm-mm. I almost cussed on this mic. You have to take that out, but no.
Okay. Unless they had a little bit more than $200.
No way. Lots
or,
more.
Or a Brahma bag.
And then it'd still be a no.
Okay.
But thank you.
So then why would Vicky, who's been here 16 years, who has come into contact with countless inmates who have made solicitous remarks, why now? Why this guy who is serving 75 years, who is facing a capital murder charge, who's never going to get out.
Right.
Why him and why now? You might have some insight into that. And then obviously it advanced to the point where she was ready to throw her career and life away for him.
We have no answers.
I'm sorry, that's a really good question.
That's a question only Vicky could answer.
But other than she seemed like, Vicky seemed really lonely to me.
She did seem lonely, but she had attorneys.
I was just about to say that. There were attorneys that wanted to take her out. We had a maintenance guy here at one point that we were like, oh, they would be a cute couple. Like guys that had potential, you know?
Right.
I mean, they worked a 9-to-5, but they had potential.
Okay. Nothing wrong with them working 9-to-5.
Nothing's wrong with that. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They're not inmates.
I think she had a certain
type. They weren't
type
making wooden
anyway.
Footballs for 25 cents an hour.
Right. So okay.
Wouldn't you think that? I think she had a certain type that she liked anyway. What considering the men that she had been with.
I do think Vicky had a tendency to go lean towards the bad boys.
Yeah, because, you know, even with the first husband, she told me that he was abusive and physically and mentally. So, and then you've got the other one that she lived with, but she never talked about Brian. And then
I didn't know she was living with anybody until he died.
Did you not?
When they called me and told me that her live-in boyfriend had died, I was like,
as close as you
when she was in the back. She was just an officer at the time.
In the back means dealing with the inmates.
She was a corrections deputy at the time.
Right.
Wow. But I had no idea that she even had a boyfriend, much less live with him.
I mean, I know that he drank, but I don't know anything else other, you know, because she never said anything else, even after he died.
Right, right. So let's go back to why, if there was a Brahma bag on the line, why do you think she was open to the most forbidden relationship you could possibly have?
Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s and play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. The thrill is endless, with new chapters added weekly, allowing you to not only enjoy the detective adventure, but also to personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
That's a really good question. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it was the excitement. I don't know if it was because it was forbidden. I don't know.
Because, you know, she tried to get me to go to a couple of places with her that I wouldn't go. And I don't,
like where?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, it sounds like a strip club.
It's just, there's a place up in Tennessee called Parker's. And she asked me one night, I want to go up there and drink a beer. And I don't do those things. Not without. If I did, I wouldn't go with Vicky because I'm married.
Right.
So,
But you will throw a sex party.
Well, you know, my friends.
No. Excuse me.
Please rephrase that.
But my co-workers were there with me, except for my boss.
Missy loves to say boss. That. Oh, my gosh.
She but it was because there. I was sick that
yeah,
day.
We tried.
I
would have
been supposed to be there.
Okay. Missy, you've known her the longest. Why do you think?
But that's just it. I've been associated with her the longest, but because she was so private, I didn't really know her.
Right.
I don't think anybody really knew her except for her family. I think I'm leaning more towards what Sherry said. I just think that she was so lonely, and I hate to say anything negative about Vicky because I loved her, but I think something broke. I think something in her broke mentally to make her choose to make this type of decision.
Right. Didn't really realize how private she was.
Oh, man.
In that environment, I can't believe that you guys let anyone keep a secret. Like, I would figure that you all would, oh, wait a second, there's a thread. Someone's got to pull that thread all the way.
I tried.
Okay.
I tried.
You definitely
The last yeah. few weeks. Yeah. She really kind of opened up more in the conversations than probably ever before.
And I think that's because we were starting to ask, like, you know, she started saying more, like, I'm about to go. Y'all don't believe me. You know, and we're right. asking questions.
I'm going to go out with a bang.
Yeah. We're like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to, you know, retire to? Or what do you want to do? It's just, I think that's why she opened up more.
She talked about an apartment, and she couldn't make
a decision.
She couldn't make a decision on an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept wondering why, because I knew she did not want to move back in with her mom and dad. She done said that.
Right.
But there, she never came up with a place, an apartment.
No.
Mm.
So
let's go through the timeline and see if there are any red flags. Now, one of the first signs when we look at the timeline, November 25th, 2021, Vicky skips family Thanksgiving dinner for the first time in 56 years. And that's when her family started to get worried. When Thanksgiving was coming up, do you all remember having any discussion about Thanksgiving and what your plans were?
Now, she did talk about this around us. So her mom does, like, is it 2 meals a day? And she'll do whatever any of them want. The brothers show up, the wife, the whoever.
Like she cooks separate meals for the kids versus the father.
And so Vicky was like, you know, I'm just going to stop going over there because if I go over there, I'm going to eat. And she was on a diet and she had lost weight.
Right.
So.
But why skip Thanksgiving?
Because I feel like she was trying to shun, like.
Distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to distance herself before she did what she did.
I want to say something I felt like was a, now looking back, was a moment. I'm assuming this was during one of those points when Casey was here and before he went back to Donaldson in 21 when they found that shank in the cell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when they brought it up to the front office and gave it to, at the time it was Director Butler, what we thought at the time or what was being said was that Casey made this shank and his plan was to kidnap Vicky when she took him to court. And so I remember it was huge. It was huge. And
huge
so
shank.
It was a huge shank.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so I remember looking at Vicky like, Vicky, like, girl, are you?
Bothered.
She was so nonchalant. Like she didn't say anything. I'm like, girl,
she just kind of
you're
like,
not scared, you know? She was like, just kind of shook her head, didn't comment on it. That was a point. Now looking back, like, wonder what that was about.
Is there any speculation? And I hate to go there, but one has to. Do you think that she could have given it to him? If this was a plan.
My thought was, now looking back, well, the first thought was they must have had some, like, sort of argument or something. But then it was something else that came out. They said that he wasn't the one that actually did it. It was somebody else in the cell. Do y'all remember that?
Yes. That's always the story, though.
Well,
but my thing was, I feel like if they hadn't got caught before it all went down, then they would have been gone.
That would have been the plan then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember, it was something about they said he had gotten drunk. Something had happened where he was, like, talking too much in the cell and had mentioned something about a plan. Do y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all gonna make me feel like I'm making this up. That's
all right. That's okay. So, between the time he was at Donaldson before he came back here, in one of those stretches, it was a 6-month stretch, I guess, they spoke on the phone over 900 times.
From Donaldson.
That is wild.
And if I call my wife 3 times, you know, she's like, why are you calling me?
Right.
Mm. All right, I've revealed too much. But 900 times. And I did not know that some of the cells have their own phones in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make call. It's not like, you know, you go out of your cell and they take you to a bank of phones and then you make your phone calls. Mm-hmm. You can make phone calls in your cell.
Yeah, they're accessible in the cell.
Right. And now you can make FaceTime calls and send email. Mm-hmm. Right?
Send messages, yeah. Yes. They make messages.
Right.
Well, here's messages, not emails.
Okay.
But Donaldson probably has email.
Right. So where would she have found the time? Did you notice at all? She kind of hid it in her normal activity where you wouldn't know if she was back in the cells or if she was going out to run an errand or she was on the phone.
You know, there were times she stepped out to get on, like, to answer a phone call.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
I think we felt like it was, like, doctor's appointments or something like that. But Vicky was really on the go. I mean, she would sit in the office during her lunch. I don't even want to call it an hour. But she would sit down
and eat her bag of chips.
Like bag of chips or crackers.
Yeah,
or
something
candy
like
bar.
That's the only time she would come in and, like, sit down. And maybe if she was answering some grievances or requests inmates are able to send in, you know, for us to answer if they're having problems or something in the cell, she would answer those. But, she was always on the move.
Okay.
So it was nothing for us to not see Vicky for hours at a time.
Right.
You know, may hear her on the radio.
But we never suspected anything. We just assumed that she was in the back taking care of business. But she could have been in the bathroom.
For all we know.
In your experience, and whether it be at this facility or other facilities, to have an inmate and a correctional deputy have some kind of...
Oh, we've had it here more than once.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that, you know, I guess there was speculation.
But she hit it though, right, to where the other ones y'all catch.
Right.
Vicky.
Yeah, she was good at what she did because there was because all the other cases were, you know, they get just a little too comfortable with each other. The officers constantly going and escorting the inmate, you know, to another location, medical, right, whatever. That officer wanted to be the one going,
right,
and doing that. And with Vicky, right, she never.
And we should say that all of that happened under the old sheriff.
Yes.
Not the new one.
Right. That's correct.
Right. The old, old sheriff.
The old, old sheriff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the procedures have changed, I understand, since Casey and since the Casey and Vicky.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All the other cases were the sheriff prior to the one we have now.
Okay. So I talked to Sergeant Burbank about it, about how could Vicky manipulate the inmates and the situation so that she would be alone with him. And he said, as somebody who is the number two in the jail,
she's over the officers.
She could do anything she wants and no one would question it.
Nobody would question Vicky.
I know.
And not out of like a fear or anything, you know, but just because she was so good at her job.
At the time, it was out of respect.
It was like, yeah, it was out of respect. They trusted her. We trusted her. The inmates trusted her, you know.
The inmates loved her.
Sometimes she would get grievances and they're like, it's Mama Vicky or we love you, Mama. Like she was
grandma.
Oh, grandma, yeah, you know. So it was more of like, Vicky knows what she's doing. If that's what she said, I'm sure she has a good reason for it.
Right, right, right.
You know, we trust her judgment on it. I do agree that there is, it may be because we're a county jail, uh-huh, you know, even though we house a lot of the municipalities around
you
here.
You have some serious people here.
I mean, we do, but for the most part, there are a lot of like frequent flyers, uh-huh, you know, uh-huh, a lot of repeat customers.
Right.
So I don't.
Residents.
Residents. We know them, you know, we know them by name. We hear the name. We're like, yep. Okay. He's back or she's back, you know?
Right.
I think it can become sort of casual or familiar, you know, mm-hmm, or comfortable. At least we think it must be comfortable for them to keep coming back. But, but I,
well, it's not,
I
mean, like you get freaking flyer points.
So. I mean, right. But you know, you get three meals a day.
Right.
Three hots and a cot.
Three hots and a cot. You got the tablet in there and your phone TV. Calls. Yeah.
I mean,
your TV.
Not that I've had it, but one of the inmates told me the meals.
Not too shabby. Huh?
No. Could be a little better.
Oh man. Tell them to leave a review. Leave a Yelp review.
Yeah. It's going to be on Yelp.
Yeah. But I agree with you that there is a certain level of, especially for the ones that come in pretty regularly, that
right,
it's pretty calm for the most part. There mm-hmm. are some ones that come in pretty hyped up on drugs or
right, right, right.
And Vicky could always deal with those. I mean, all
the
of them
that were disruptive.
Yeah, right? Always.
She dealt with them good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did notice that if you treat them with respect, it comes back to you, and they really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're still people. They're still human.
Yeah. So she skips Thanksgiving dinner. She then puts her home up for auction on February 4th, 2022. Does she tell you all that she's going to sell her house?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And why does she say she's going to sell her house?
She's been talking about that since October, November of 2021.
She said that it was too much for her, the land and stuff. And
she
that,
didn't need that much.
Yeah, she didn't need that much, and she just wanted to get an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again,
that was her words.
Nothing strange about that.
No.
A little bit of strange to put it up for auction as opposed
right,
to selling
right, right.
it. Did she yeah. mention that
but
she was
But we didn't
that?
Know that at first, though.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
We just thought she had put it in real estate.
Uh-huh.
She just put it up for sale. It's like yes. what she said.
Right, right.
And then when she mentioned Shane Albright to me, I was like, are you auctioning? And she was like, yeah, I'm auctioning it off.
Right.
So.
But she didn't say why she would take that extreme measure.
I know when she auctioned it, I was like, why would you do that? But you know, I wasn't gonna ask her
right.
that. That's
right.
her home, and what she did with it was her business.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask her right. why would you do that? Because
okay.
she had a nice place. So
right, right. And it would have sold.
Yes.
But it would have taken a little time.
It would have taken yes. time.
Right. Okay.
And that's kind of what I think she was trying to get across, was that she wanted. She never really told us. She would always say March or April. She
right.
was leaving.
Like, yeah.
She didn't know when, but she wanted to get rid of the house quick so she could just make the decision and go.
She had been going to a doctor. I really just thought that Vicky was, something was bad wrong with Vicky. And that might be why she's doing what she's doing too.
Like health-wise?
Yes, because I'd ask her, you know, what was wrong. And she told me that she found out she had a tumor. And so I asked her, was it cancerous? And she was like, no. But he did say if I wanted him to take it out, he would. And that's all she said about it. And
right.
So the stranger she got, I was like, one morning I come in and I was like, Vicky, now listen. We know each other too well. We're too close. I said, why? I said, I don't understand what's wrong. And she's like, I said, are you dying? And she started laughing, and I said, it's not funny, Vicky. I said, I'm being for real. And she said, no, I'm not dying. And that was...
How long ago this is, prior?
It's just probably two weeks
maybe
before
if that.
She did what she did.
When you had the idea to throw the sex toy party...
You should tell him some more about that. Like it was.
Yeah, you know what?
Well,
yes,
no.
You should.
What did I say?
No, it wasn't you necessarily. Like, hey guys, I'm gonna throw a sex party. Like
sex toy
or sex toy party.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Chantel, you were
an orgy
too much.
Party. No, I'm just playing. It's the
Sorry,
toy
Sheriff.
Party. So it wasn't just you coming to us saying that your daughter had a friend that was opening up a store. She was trying to get some customers in.
Uh-huh.
She knew that your daughter knew that you knew people that would come to the toy party. So,
our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So, doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Let me make sure we say that right for my friend. She didn't just have no toys at her house.
Yeah, she
trying
did
to
ask
sell.
Me, would right. I have one? And I said, yeah, we'll have one. So,
right. And were you surprised?
And of course,
that
who am I going to invite? My friends.
But were you surprised that Vicky would come?
Oh, no. I knew she would.
Given
how just because she wasn't very social after work.
Right.
Like, she didn't go out to eat with anybody. She didn't. So I was kind of shocked she went.
We do,
but Sherry obviously was not.
No,
I wasn't either.
At the courthouse, they
she had talked about toys.
Well, I didn't think she was going to come.
Well, it's not that I didn't think that she would get into
she would enjoy it. She
the
just
idea
wasn't
of
that
the
type
party.
Of person.
It was just I just didn't think she would socialize.
She's not really
had
big
so
on.
So much fun though.
She did. She
and
so
I really do feel like we saw. Now looking back on it, we saw a different. Like she just opened up more that last. 2 years, maybe last year and a half, 2 years. Like going to things, she came to one of the coworkers' wedding. She came to my baby shower. She came to the toy party. Like it was just more of like you're getting out,
right? And do you think?
But it almost seems like the opposite. It's like was it like you knew you were getting closer to the end?
So y'all drove her to do what she did.
No, I'm not saying that. But you know, like almost like this is the last time you're gonna see me. So like let me make it count almost. Because she really wasn't doing that type of stuff.
No.
Before then. I mean she just was like, nah. Like you knew not to ask Vicky because she's not gonna come. And no love lost. You just knew Vicky's not one of those people.
But you could tell that was not her first time at the store.
I would like to reiterate that I was not there. So
oh my gosh.
It was not her first. Anybody, it would be me because she's showing me what stuff is and what it's for.
So the guy at the store said, hey, Vicky, you want this on your account?
Vicky spent the most
the girl
money.
Did. said, the female, yeah, like Kayla, the store. Like Vicky is the one who spent the most money.
Yes.
She was showing us bondage stuff, like, oh yeah, that'll be good. We're like, Vicky, okay, I see you, you know. But we just had never, you know, she just wasn't that forthcoming with, right, with, you know, other than making little faces and stuff when we talked about things like that. For her to be the one like, oh yeah, I like that, I like that, give me the handcuffs, give me the,
what is it,
you know, the whip, the chain, the negligee, the wig, you know, we're like, oh you into that, okay, Vicky. You know, it was a different side now looking back.
Right,
it was a different side.
Now, I had said something in the introduction, Missy, that you grimaced when I mentioned the word love. We're getting to the point where they're going to break out. We hear how she behaved at the toy party, how clearly happy and out of her shell she was.
Right.
So those would seem to be things, you know, that would indicate somebody is in love in a new relationship. But you're skeptical, again, when there's no video, no one can see your faces.
She's making all the faces, y'all. All the faces.
Is it love, though?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think it's infatuation. I think it's like a drug addiction when you get that high.
You keep
and
chasing it.
When you have an affair, when someone has an affair, a lot of times it's just for it's
the thrill.
You can't quit because it's the excitement from doing it and not getting caught. I think it was more that than love.
Okay. What does everybody else think?
I'm going to be honest, I don't know. Because really, truly, have you seen him?
I have seen him.
Man, it's hard for me to wrap my mind
around. They always say
it.
There's someone for everyone.
Bless it.
Yeah. But I don't think that was the person.
I feel like she loved him.
Do you?
Well, thank you for saying that.
Elaborate. What's your support in?
I think in her mind, she loved him.
Yes.
But
oh, okay. Well.
But she. I think in the end, she would have figured out that she didn't.
Right. Chelsea, why? You came out right and said, nope, I think she loved him. So tell us why.
I think she loved to have someone to talk to.
But there had to be that factor of
there had to be some
excitement
kind of love
to it. Because she had too many other people that she could have talked to
that
in the free world.
Go out with her.
That weren't going to spend 75 years of their life in prison.
But that wasn't as exciting to her.
That's what I'm saying.
So you think
it was
the thrill of the bad boy, but then somewhere in her mind, she felt like this guy really loves me, and I love him back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, child. Mm-hmm.
And he's. I mean, we know he's a first-rate con man.
Yeah.
Sherry, do you think, was she in love?
I don't know if they really, I mean, I know they remember, but the last few days before she did what she did, I would say that last week, mm-hmm. To me, it was almost like she was having some kind of breakdown.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember the morning of the day that they left. When I came in, I was coming in early because she was training me to do stuff. And I just remember coming in the door, and she had her head down on the desk. And she was just so pale and just out of it. And I was like, Vicky, are you okay? She's like, I'm all right. I just don't feel good. My head hurts. My stomach hurts. I'm going to go to the doctor later.
Mm-hmm.
That was the little bit of sanity that was left,
yeah,
that was telling
her conscience.
Yes. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
She was so sick that morning.
Mm-hmm.
You could just see it on her face.
And she so loved her dad. Till
yes,
this day,
did.
It's really hard for me to think that she could have done this because one thing being her dad,
mm-hmm.
She was so close to him. Not to say she didn't love her mom, but she talked about her dad a lot. Like, yes, she would go there in the morning, read paper with him.
She worked out in the yard.
Yeah,
together.
When they did a lot. She helped him. She helped him a lot. Mm-hmm.
And she must have known she was, for one way or another, she was never going to see him again.
Oh, she was never coming back because she left her ID. She left her insurance.
Right.
She knew.
She
wouldn't have come back and faced it anyway.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, whether it was through
not
the end
caught.
That happened mm-hmm. or just not getting caught, she wasn't coming back.
Mm-hmm. So on April 27th, which is 2 days prior to the escape, someone, yes, and by the way, Mike picks up whispering as well. Someone, I was told by a deputy U.S. Marshal that potentially you aided and abetted.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, get loud, Missy. I want you to be just loud.
I did. I did not know that until approximately 4:30, 5 o'clock on the 29th.
Well, say what happened on the 27th.
On the 27th, I skipped lunch and left early. I was at Lowe's shopping.
And do you have anybody that can confirm that?
No, video camera, video footage from Lowe's.
Cell towers, when she called me.
Yes. My phone rings. It's about, I want to say it was around 10 minutes till 5. It was close to going home time, normal. And it's Vicky. And she said, are you still at work? And I said, no, I've left, but I'm at Lowe's. And she's like, oh, can you pick me up? Lock my keys in my car. I'm thinking she's still at work. I didn't realize that she had left. Mm-hmm. And because I think she actually left before I did. So I was like, sure, I'm fixing to check out. I'll leave Lowe's and I'll come back to the jail and pick you up. And she said, oh, no, I'm not at the jail. I'm actually across the street at Academy Sports.
Right.
And I'm like, you locked your keys in your car at Academy Sports? She said, no, I need you to take me to my car in Rogersville because I live in Rogersville.
Which is not Academy Sports.
Which is not Academy Sports. Right. And so I'm like, okay, I'll be over there and, you know, give me like 5 minutes. And she said, just call me when you get here and I'll come out. I'm inside picking something up. I'm like, okay. So I get over there, call her. She comes out. She's in her, I'm expecting her to be in her uniform because she just got off work.
Right.
She's in like leggings and a little tank top or whatever. And she gets in the. Yes.
She I did in, not know
I
that.
Had never seen Vicky in leggings and a tank top.
T-shirt.
I would have loved to see
it. It was like
that.
Yoga jeans. Clothes or something. Yeah.
Oh, that wow. One.
She's a blue
and
jean.
And she was talking 90 to nothing, which not was like not Vicky at all.
She was nervous.
Wait, what's the phrase?
Talking 90 to nothing.
90 to nothing. 90 right? to nothing.
I like that.
90 to nothing. And so she tries to tell, she's telling me the story about how she's in Rogersville at Foodland and she locked her keys in her car. But there was a girl there who works at Academy Sports and she got a ride with her to Academy Sports. I never really understood why. I guess she was trying to say that she was going to get her to, or get somebody to pick her up there and take her home and to get her extra set of keys. But on her way there, she dug in her purse enough to where she found her keys. So she just had the girl go ahead and take her to Academy Sports, and she would get somebody to pick her up, and that somebody was me.
That story is crazy.
So I took her to, now she lives in Lexington, and I can remember specifically thinking all of this stuff, but then I think to myself, it's Vicky. Why are you being paranoid? But I just thought she was strange. One, she was she was just talking.
Right.
And so when we get to Rogersville, which is past where she lives, because she lives in Lexington, which that was the main thing that was strange to me. Like, why were you in Rogersville? I just didn't. She never spoke about anything, knowing anybody in Rogersville, nothing. And then when we get to Rogersville, to the Foodland, where her car's parked is just strange to me. Like, it's not over on the curb in front of a business where she would have been shopping or picking something up and then coming out. No, I've locked my keys in my car. Mm-hmm. It was parked at the road like you were parking it to sell it across the parking lot. And so I remember thinking to myself, why is she parked where she's parked? But I just let her out, let her get in her car. And I even came to work the next morning and was telling the girls.
Right.
I went and picked up Vicky yesterday, and I told them the story, and I'm like, it's so strange. Like, why was she in Rogersville?
And their response was like, that's not like Vicky to, like, misplace things or leave her keys. Right.
That's why we said it seemed like she's having a breakdown.
That week was like, what's missing?
Other people have described her as being quite meticulous.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so I was just like, you know, we just talked about how strange that was and whatever. And then we went about our normal business. Mm-hmm. And
But you had been mentioning about 2 weeks before that something's off about Vicky. Mm-hmm. Like, you just kept saying that. Mm-hmm. But me and Sherriet were talking about it a lot, that something was just off about her.
Thursday came and went.
The thing that stuck out to me about Thursday.
This is April 28th.
The 28th. So Vicky never took off work. She had all of this, you know, annual time and sick time saved. And I remember hearing the conversation between her and Missy. And Missy, you may do this better than I do because you know all of this stuff. That you were suggesting to her, because she's not able to get that sick time back.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Missy would suggest for her to do is go to a doctor, get an excuse for the doctor to take you off work. So that way you can get those hours. I mean, we're talking about.
Get paid for your sick time.
Over 400 hours. Yeah. Oh, you know.
Wow. Okay.
Same with annual.
She didn't miss work.
Well, the annual, you could get a check for.
But it was about the same amount of hours. Right. So, you know, I remember her talking to Vicky about that and telling her, like, call HR. You know, that's something I would suggest that you do, because you're just going to lose that time. Mm-hmm, and you've accumulated it all of these years. In my mind, of course, I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. I wish I could cash out. You know, I don't have 400 hours. but I remember that conversation. So I'm sorry. Now you can talk about Friday.
Well, you got to work. Someone's got to pay for those bags.
You know, and then
she's got good credit.
I do. I have the best creditor in the world. But when Missy was talking to Vicky about that, she seemed like, oh, okay. You know, she was just kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, but, like, never, like, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, that's news to know.
Okay.
And then we get to Friday. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then Friday was just.
This is April 29th, 2022. This is the day of the escape.
Yes. Now, Thursday, she did have the itinerary for Friday. She did speak about it because she was saying we have court and whoever the transport officers were at that time. I don't remember who they were now. They're taking two or three inmates to court, and because they're going to be in court, I'm going to take Casey to the courthouse and drop him off to some investigators.
Even though, as a deputy corrections officer, she should never take somebody wanted for murder, right? I mean, she should never be transporting him, yet alone.
And that rule was put in place for the Shank deal a couple years prior to that with him, because she was the transport officer at that time. And when that took place, then the rules that put in place, if they were in here for murder or attempted murder, they were to be transported by sworn officers, which she was certified to carry a gun, and she carried a gun, but they still wanted certified officers, deputies,
and
to
even
transport.
Certified officers are not allowed to do it alone.
No. It was supposed to be two.
Right. So this was a double whammy in that respect.
Right. But 2 years had passed. Everybody gets complacent. Right. They, you know.
And it's Vicky.
And Vicky is just good at what she does. Right. She's good at what she does. So nobody thought anything about it.
Nobody questioned.
Mm-hmm. And I think she was making sure that she, hindsight's 2020. I think she was explaining the itinerary,
like,
on how it was going to work. To see if anybody would pick up on it.
Well, not only that, guys, the run through the couple of days before.
That was the Wednesday that I picked her up before she left.
That run through when her and Casey leave to go to the
mental health, the River Bend.
Yes, for a mental health assessment, and then turn around and come right back saying, oh, we got the court date wrong.
Right.
Even though it seemed strange, because Vicky did majority of the transporting, a lot of the judges would just text her with who they needed for court. So, you know, there were times we may not have had, like, a paper trail because Vicky, you know, she got it.
That's interesting. Okay.
You know,
if she said, I got to take this guy there, no one looks for the paperwork and go, no paperwork.
Oh, I mean,
no.
Make sense. No.
So that's circumvented the system, and everybody was used to that.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mm. Let me just go back, and then we'll continue. Mm. But on April 28th, the day before, she submits her retirement paperwork.
know that she submitted.
I thought she just had it on
it
her
was laying
I do
on
remember
her
taking it to the county commission.
You did take it to the
I
county
did.
Commission?
On that Thursday?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And was there any discussion amongst you all about, did you expect her paperwork to be put in on that particular day? Or was that a shock?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I never expected Vicky yeah. to retire this
I thought
early.
She was telling us that Friday was going to be her last day.
Yeah. She kept she saying. Did you?
I could have swore we saw it laying on her desk Friday.
Like, yeah. The officers caught wind of it. They had got her a cake on Friday.
Flower.
You know, they had little stuff in the right. back.
She just left it all here.
Didn't even take a slice of cake. That's something.
And so let's talk about April 29th. 2022, at 9:31 a.m., Vicky leaves with Casey.
Yes.
At 11:30, according to the sheriff's office, Lauderdale County Detention Center noticed that they're missing. And who was the one who noticed? And Chelsea, somebody came to you, right?
They did, but I do remember we went to lunch at the river.
Somebody running for county commission or something was doing like a law enforcement cookout
yes.
or something, and we went down there to have a hot dog or hamburger right. or whatever. And I got a call while I was there from the supervisor on duty that day, which uh-huh. was Charles, and he said, "Have you talked to Vicky?" And I said, "No, you know, she left this morning to drop Casey off, and then she was going to the doctor because that's what she said. She was going to the doctor," and he said, "Well, I've tried to call her, and she's not picking up. It's going straight to voicemail."
Right.
And he said, "I've texted her. I've done everything." And I'm like, maybe she's in the doctor, and she's got her phone cut off. So, you know, no.
Would that be usual for her? Or would it be like, look, she gets a text. She doesn't matter where she is or what
she's
doing.
She's going to answer you.
She's usually answering.
Okay.
Yeah. But so he came down to the river, and we ate, and we came back, and really – nothing much was said anymore about it until about 3 o'clock. Another supervisor, who she was a sergeant, but she wasn't the sergeant on duty, she was in booking, came to me about 3 or 3:30 and sat down in my office and said, "I think we might have a problem." And I'm like, "What?" And she said, Vicky left with Casey White this morning and they're not back yet." And I'm like, "What?" And she said, they're not back." And I said, "Well, Vicky went to the doctor." And she said, "But nobody can get a hold of her." So I immediately called the sheriff's department.
Could anybody find Casey?
Well, that's what I did. I called the investigator, uh-huh. somebody at the courthouse, and, like, you know, told him what supposedly took place, that right. he was dropped off to an investigator. I said, "I need you to find out what investigator has him."
Right.
And of course they went to the grand jury room to see if they were in their meeting, and they weren't. He was supposed to be having a mental evaluation.
Right.
They went to the fifth floor, which was Judge Self's office, because they have him up there in his jury room sometimes. Nobody was there. So everybody frantically ran around the courthouse looking, and nobody could find. And, you know, everybody always talks about people having gut feelings sometimes, and just something, like, I knew in the back of my mind that this, what had happened. Like, I just felt it. I felt like I wasn't in fear for Vicky. Like, I didn't feel like he had kidnapped her.
Because a lot of people thought, yeah, I mean, that was the initial thought, was he kidnapped her.
I mean, I acted like I was. Like, I was, right. I acted concerned about that, but just something in my gut was telling me this is not what it appears to be. Like, there's something going on here.
And can you pinpoint it anymore? I'm so curious that you thought that, where everybody else was thinking something different.
Just intuition, I guess. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if subconsciously, like, me taking her or picking her up Wednesday okay. was in the back of my mind or whatever. But mm-hmm. that really did not,
right.
that wasn't the aha moment when it's when they found the patrol car.
Right.
At Bojangles, which was, is in the parking lot of Academy Sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When they came and said, you know, somebody came into the office, like they found the patrol car. It's in at it was at Bojangles.
Mm-hmm.
I slapped the desk. I was sitting at Vicky's desk, actually looking through her computer, trying to look at her emails, all this stuff. And I slapped the desk and said a few choice words that I will not say. And they were like, somebody was like, what? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they were like, what? And I said, I think that I helped Vicky plant the getaway car. And they were like, what? And so that's when I told the story of Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
I said, I picked her up at Academy Sports. I guarantee you she parked the car there. And that's where they found her car. And then sure enough, that's, I went and helped the investigators look at the cameras
right.
to pinpoint where her car was parked the day I took her back to Rogersville, and they kind of backtracked and found the car that they had left in, which right. was the orange.
So we're just going to go with you knew because you're brilliant.
Oh,
is that good?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Everybody comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. So what did you all think when you heard?
So Missy, I was home that day on mm-hmm. Friday. I think I went to the doctor like Thursday afternoon after work, got shots for strep throat, whatever. So I was at home. I woke up, I don't know, I guess I must have took a nap or something in the afternoon, but I woke up and around about 5 o'clock probably, I had a missed call from Chelsea and Missy about 3:30, and Chelsea, it was a text like, call me back now. And then Missy was like, call me now, you know. And I'm like, oh my god, they fired me on my off day. But no, but no. So I called Missy back, and I can hear a lot of chatter going on. She's, you know, she's kind of talking like, hey, I'm in the office right now, you know, and just
right.
I can tell there's a lot going on in the background. So she says, Vicky took Casey to the courthouse this morning and they haven't came back.
Right.
And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, she was like, they're gone. They're missing, you know. And my first feeling was, of course, fear, because what I thought about was the shank. Like, is this not the same guy?
Uh-huh.
You know, and so she was like, you know, yes. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And so then Missy makes the statement that she had her resignation letter and her retirement papers on her desk Friday. And what was weird to me was Missy and Vicky had just had the conversation the day before about her getting the doctor's excuse, doing the right. time, you know. And I'm like, so she's forfeiting all that time? Like, you just don't let it go? I know, that is really sad when you think about it, right?
Like,
anyways, but I'm like, well, Missy, didn't you just tell her that she should just get a doctor's, like, what? And so she was like, she put everything here today and she's gone. And so I said, Missy, do you think that they ran away together? And she says, Chantel, that's what I'm trying to tell you. And so, you know, from that point, it's the feeling of, oh my God, I'm scared for Vicky. This guy's very dangerous. As the days keep going, or by at least within 24 hours, I'm like, they're gone. You know, Vicky is so smart. And she knows the system so well. She's been in law enforcement. She's studied, you know, like criminal justice. You know, they're gone. Like, they're on a boat, gone. You know. And, of course, as time keeps going and us following the story, I didn't expect it to end the way that it did with her dying. But I didn't know, like, all of us knew that she wasn't going to come back and face this. So it was going to be something was going to happen. Either they were going to get away
or die together
yeah. is if anything yeah. we thought.
Sherry, what'd you think?
As being as close as I was to her, like, I was in denial. Like, I really wanted to believe, like, maybe I knew that if there was any planning done, it would have been Vicky because it was just too smart the way it was done. But I still was in denial and in shock that she did what she did.
Did you think that he had forced her? Did you think she was at
I don't think fun? Vicky could be forced into anything.
Were you in fear for her life?
If anything, I just knew she'd, if they didn't go together, I felt more like he wouldn't die and she would die. Because I knew that she would not come back and face us. And when her mother said that she left her purse, her ID, her insurance and all that, that like in one spot in the bedroom, then I knew that Vicky wouldn't come in. I knew she wouldn't come in back.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other, she would either die by his hand or hers. So, you know, and you know, Missy would try talking to me because she knew that I know Missy knew I was still in denial. She was like, Sherry, you know, and you know, and I did, but I just didn't want to believe it. Not the Vicky that I knew.
No. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty unfathomable that somebody would throw, again, a 16-year career, somebody so respected and, you know, who's wouldn't be questioned, that, you know, and just threw it all away for him. While they were on the run, he was calling 976 sex lines.
My thing, I want to know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Wait a minute.
He was what?
While they were together in that motel, he was already talking on sex lines.
Remember.
And chatting to other women. And perhaps also in other chat rooms, but they didn't know that he was Casey White and on the run. But he was already talking and exploring with other women after had thrown her life away for him.
I did not know that.
I am at a loss for words. I didn't know that either.
Kind of goes back to the con man aspect of it. Like, he was able to pull the wool over her eyes in that respect.
That's why I don't fall for the... His diagnosis couldn't plan this. He couldn't. Mm-hmm. No, he was a narcissistic manipulator who knew exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky was too smart. She had to know he was doing that. She had to have.
But do you think she would have done that?
At the end. I think Vicky was in charge to begin with. Because it was just too smart what happened. But toward the end, like, I feel like he took over and she had no control after that.
Yes.
He took
but
over.
Her past relationships tell you that that's the kind of
man.
Yeah.
That,
the kind of person that she's attracted to. And she, I mean, once she's in it, you're in it. And she couldn't get out. She couldn't.
Everything had already escalated to this.
She couldn't go and say, hey, we're up here, because she's going to go to prison just like he was.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I mean, Chelsea, why were you shaking your head?
I can't get over that. That is crazy.
Oh, the 976 number.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, he then left notes in the car. I don't know if you're aware of.
He wrote these notes.
Yes.
So there's more than one?
So there are notes to law enforcement, to his mother, and to his son, basically saying that he's not a killer, but he was going to kill Vicky because that's what Vicky wanted, because she was not going to shoot it out with law enforcement, that he was supposed to shoot it out with law enforcement and not make it. She made him promise to shoot her.
He surrendered.
He kept calling her my wife in the letters. And then, you know, how soon after, he was apparently very popular on Facebook.
Yeah.
And had people managing his Facebook page because there were so many people that were interested in communicating.
That blows my mind.
Women cropping pictures of children, like they're small children, with their arms around his neck, walking through the park.
That is sick. Like
that is a sick and twisted.
Wait, I'm not sure what that. What do you mean?
On that one particular Facebook page,
I have not looked at
Casey
that.
And Vicky White or some kind of something like that. There's a woman who had a picture of a 1 year old, maybe two, the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures were cropped with him in a jail uniform, because that's all the pictures they had were him right. being escorted from the car the van to the courthouse. And they had cropped the pictures to look like he was walking through the park with them and talking about how we were taking a walk with daddy and the...
Well, oh, the happily ever after
yes.
photo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
There are some...
So were there no letters from Vicky?
Not that I'm aware of. There was reports that there were, but I don't believe that that's actually the case.
I'm going to be honest. The whole manhunt and looking for them and he, like seeing the updates felt like a blur.
Yeah.
For me, the first time when it was real was hearing the audio footage. Of like when it picked up, I guess when they hit the car and the right. OnStar when it activated, and to hear her voice, and hearing like the alarms, you know, the officers and right. the cars and it blaring in the back, like I broke down crying. That was the first time, like it just felt it was real. Like this is really what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, it just felt like this is crazy. You know,
maybe
it just feels like
a dream. We're going to wake up.
And maybe we have like a horrible sense of humor, you know, but we would kind of laugh or chuckle, or people would come in. You know, you see people were making all types of memes and stuff, mm-hmm, you know, so we'll see stuff and like laugh, you know, almost that laugh to keep from crying type thing.
Right.
But at that moment, hearing that, I remember being in my bed and like seeing it on, I think one of you guys sent it, Chelsea or Missy saw it and like sent it. I broke down crying, hearing her voice and yeah. hearing that crash. It was a lot. It was a lot. Mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. definitely made it real.
And what her mom and dad must have been going through.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they definitely had no idea either.
Is her parents.
Yes.
And that's why I don't want to talk bad of Vicky, but I am mad at her. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
She's obviously not the person that we thought she was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she was. I just think there was another side to her that we didn't know.
It had to be another personality. Like,
yeah, I mean, I could agree with that.
I mean, I'm assuming that given your relationship and the length of your relationship, this is something for you that is completely and utterly unfathomable.
It is. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick out of these people, who would you say is the most likely to have done that?
Vicky would have been the last.
Probably, you think Sherry?
Well, damn, who would have been the first?
I think we said it. I think someone said me the other day.
No, not me. I might cut up with them, but If you ever work back there and you get that, you have that smell. There's just a certain smell, not necessarily saying it's from this jail, okay? Fritos. But like an individual inmate, like a male, that smell is so gross. Like,
this is so gross.
When you heard what had happened about how she died, what were your thoughts?
All I could do was cry. Missy will tell you. That's all I could do.
Yeah. I definitely broke down too.
So you at that time, you put your anger aside and you were just sad. It's tragic.
It is.
She's a good person. I mean, yeah, she did what she did. It's not even Casey's fault, really, that she did what she did. She's grown. She's grown. We say that all the time. They're grown. They make their own choices. Vicky did do it, and... But it doesn't take away
right.
who I knew for years up until that point.
Right.
And I don't believe she was ever like that. I mean, she treated these inmates like humans. And like Casey made a comment in court, something about what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Vicky said that to him. Vicky would say that. We remember her saying that a lot. Yeah, she got very angry at the system at the end for some reason. She says it wasn't fair. She got very angry. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that come from what happened to him,
but was that based on the lies that he was feeding her?
Right.
And because at this point she was in love with him, quote unquote. I say that loosely. It's just sad.
It's very sad.
My sadness is for her parents and her family that she left behind, who were like us, who thought they knew a certain Vicky, and there was a side to her that they had no idea existed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to live with that.
And never knowing the answers.
And like, never know the answers.
Yeah, like never understanding.
They'll never get the closure.
Right.
I mean,
she could stand right here in front of me and try to explain to me why she did what she did. And
she didn't have to die. I mean, she could have come back. And.
But would you want to go to prison? Because that's where you're going.
Yeah, no. But she still could have come back, though. And she wouldn't have got as much time, I don't think, with never been in trouble. Yeah. Like, it's not something that's...
Right.
She could have not got through, and then her parents still have her. Right.
But to me, and my...
Shame.
My way of thinking with that is it wasn't so much that Vicky couldn't come back and face her due process that she would have to have went through. It was the shame.
Yes.
Right. More than that. She could have spent 50 years in prison or till she died, but it was the shame of what she had done that she couldn't live with. Because no matter how twisted she got to come up with this decision that she did, she knew from the beginning that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She knew that she was making all the wrong decisions and going against everything that she had portrayed herself to be, because that's who she was. She was that person that she portrayed to be, but she betrayed herself and her own morals and her own... She betrayed herself.
She did call me at 15 till 9 the night before. I didn't answer it, so... And I knew it was her calling, and I didn't... But I was in bed.
But you didn't know what you didn't know she was doing what she was doing either.
Right. No.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always wonder what that was. Yeah.
What she was going to say.
Oh, what is it that she needed to hear?
Yeah.
No, because I'd have told her.
I know. Oh, yeah, she would have.
She's the snitch.
She said, I would have told her.
And that was Vicky's nickname to Sherry, was Snitch.
I'm calling the cops. I'm calling the law. I can just see her.
She did call me a snitch all the time.
She did. It was so funny.
Ladies, thank you very much. Missy Smith, Chantel Brown, Sherry Marks, and Chelsea Caulfield. One final question. One of you, and I won't say who, said to me that I am reluctant to do this podcast because I do not want to sound like the one woman that they find after a tornado who is toothless, braless, and sounds like a redneck.
End quote. Like,
without mentioning names, Sherry, do you feel like...
No, you didn't.
Do you feel like that happened?
I hope your wife gets you.
For 28 years.
You said Sherry.
You did it on purpose because they can't
see. No, I didn't. Okay, I'm doing. I have to apologize. It was Missy.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you. Thank you for correcting that.
Oh, that's funny. I thought you did it intentionally.
No, because what I've learned this podcast, it certainly easily could have been Sherry. But it was actually.
I am very country.
But
I
it is am. Actually Missy. Yeah.
But not braless. I'm very conservative. I like my clothes.
I ain't braless.
I wasn't making judgments. I was just repeating what had been said to me.
I did not say I was braless. I said they always find the toothless, braless, most redneck person they can find to interview after a tornado when it hits Alabama. So, I don't want to sound like that. Since we're not on video, you can't see if I'm braless or not.
But she assures you she does have on a bra and all of her teeth.
We see a lot of that anyway, don't we?
Ooh, Lord, we see toothless and braless.
Well, if anything, you've had a little bit of insight of what goes on at Lauderdale County Detention Center. If you like what you hear, how could you not with these lovely ladies? Please tell your friends. Please give us a rave review and give us a 5-star rating. We would really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.